What is up, everyone? Welcome to Jammers in the Rough. Our fearless leader, Paige, is not here tonight.
It's a good
but
one.
You are stuck with myself, Josh, and Cody. So we're going to talk about a few things tonight, starting with Cody's hot take. We're going to jump right
into
that.
We're just going to jump right into a hot, like, that's, you can't, it's only Cody's been 2 minutes,
here.
Josh.
Cody, oh, I'm sorry, Paige is not here.
I am here.
Paige is not here.
So, I mean, I guess with a hot take, and my hot takes are always very mild at best, like, I need some hot sauce. I'm just not a confrontational person. I say it every week, and y'all keep making me do it. It's terrifying. But I would say my hot take is pro disc golf isn't for old people. And you're probably thinking, what? Let's look at the competitive window of almost every major sport. As a physical education teacher, I've looked at this, looked about the biology and stuff like that. The peak physical average for a male is 27. So if you look into that, like, decline on sports and everything, 27 is usually the average for a peak physical specimen. And even just look at disc golf sports. Just this last week, Anthony Barella, I don't know how old he is, but I'm pretty sure Anthony Barella is early 20s, 25, 26, maybe tops. Then you also have, like, Calvin Heimberg. I don't think he's 30 yet. Simon Lazat might be in his 30s. He got married and had a kid. But disc golf, we have age-protected categories. We have our MP40, MP50. What's going to be the next step? When are they going to move into, like, an MP35? An MP30? Am I just being an old crotchety man yelling because I'm over that age? It just seems like people are aging out. Like, does Paul McBeth really have a chance against these people anymore?
I mean, I think Paul McBeth does. I think he's having a slow start. I think he's having a rough start. But we all know that at any point he can just pop off and be on that lead card final round. The problem I see with changing it to, like, having an MP30 is that it's right on the cusp. It's on the cusp. There's a lot of people playing MPO who are above 30.
True.
And I feel like I know it's getting younger and younger, the people who are dominating the sport. But at the same time, you got Matty O out there. You got Owen Scoggins out there. You got lots of players, and I feel like MP30. I mean, it's possible.
Making it too young.
I mean, I think it might be too young to do. MP40 makes sense. I mean, I don't know. That's a hard one. I just think MP30 could be a little too young to throw in there.
Okay. Because, Anthony Barella is 24. I looked it up. He's 24. Now, I guess I don't know. I guess I see what you're saying, because, yes, and I say it all the time to my students, life's not fair. I get it. Those people, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 24 or 44, someone's going to be better than you at something. But it's just, you know, is that going to be the next stepping stone? Or are they going to start doing other? Because what was the first category? Probably like MP50.
Like, and the then, first ever made?
Yeah, the first age protected category. What was it?
I have zero clue. I have zero clue. Okay. I mean, MP50, MP60, MP70?
I'm pretty sure they have, like, MP70 and higher.
Okay. Like, all those kind of make sense. Mainly because at that age, you start slowing down. At that age, and I don't mean this for everyone, just generalizing here, you slow down a bit. And you want to go out and be competitive, but you don't want to play against these young guns who can just outthrow you. Like, you want to play against people your age that are as good as you, and have fun doing it. Because once you start playing with people who just dominate you every single time in a tournament, because of your age, and, you know, you could blame it on that, it doesn't become fun. You know, it could just be discouraging and cause you to, you know, lose the love of disc golf. But going out there and having conversations with people who can relate with you more, you know, you're not the same person when you're 24 as you are when you're 44. The subjects you have, the conversations in between holes are just so different.
It's true. Anthony Perel is probably picking up pit vipers, and I'm trying to pick up
my kids. Showing off his collection.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, I will say, dude, his he has probably the best jerseys and swag. Watching his videos, he is like a frat boy playing disc golf, and I kind of love it, and I kind of hate it at the same time. But it's definitely, and I guess like the truth can be said about any sport. It's always going to be a young women's game, just because that's, you know, how your body is made. And I guess I am just a man that is in his late 30s, whose hip gave way, whose body is just giving up the ghost.
And you're just like protesting that you want that MP.
And I'm just like, yo.
You want the MP30.
Give it to, I'm pretty sure I'd still get beat by MP40 guys. So, cause like our local pro is like 40 some. And sometimes I will like, just this last week, he's in our leagues. He beat me by one stroke, and then sometimes he'll beat me like six or seven strokes. So I do feel better knowing that like a local pro is not destroying me anymore. But he's like MP41. I know that's not one, but he is. Who is Facebook user? Don't they have to put that thing in there? Did you not put that out there?
They have the choice. Are you talking about Paige or Tato hip giving out? Yes. Yes, we are.
I don't know how old Paige is. He seems like an old soul.
See, Gary says technical sports are different than aerobic intensive sports, especially when some courses that are more technical can favor more experienced players. And I agree with that.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. Where this is a game where experience will sometimes trump ability, just because you know the shot, you don't have to be able to rip 400 feet to know what's going to be your best upshot with the disc where you are. But at the same time, it seems over and over again where the younger players are going to be the ones that are winning, just from looking at MPO and stuff. Like even looking at Ricky Wysocki, him and Paul for how many years were neck and neck for the top two players in the world. I looked, Ricky's 31 and he doesn't seem to be quite at that peak anymore. I'm not saying he's not still one of the best players in the world, because I would consider him that, but is he on the downslope?
I mean, the people that you saw on the top 2 years ago have dropped many spots, many, many spots down. You know, still top 25 in the world, which is a very, very impressive thing to have. The thing that I see, though, is when you get older, those courses that are just wide open, bomber shots, you have to be more technical in a lot of them, but there's still the kids that can come out there and throw down a 600, 700 foot shot. They're going to outthrow the older players a lot of the times. That's not, like I said, generalizing. Majority of the time they're going to be outthrown, and I can see that being a big factor. So you know what, I'm going to vote for yes for MP 30 just for you, Cody.
See, well, I'm going to be 40 in like 2 years, so you know, I'm trying to do it for the younger generations, you know. I care about them. It is funny though, like we have another couple of local guys. It's a family. And they are all like these like farm boys, but they all have these like, I have a pretty big wingspan, but all of these guys are like lean and tall, and they can throw like the youngest kid, 16, he can throw 550 pushing 600 feet. And he's just like a freak, but he's the youngest sibling. And he watched all of his older brothers play. They would bring him with them. That's why I'm like, I need to bring my kids with me, teach them young. And I mean, he's already beaten all the older people, and he's sub 20. So
sub 20. You mean a teenager?
Yeah, that's what I said. Sub 20. I said he was 16. In a couple years, I'm going to say they're going to have to like make an MP20. Like, listen, we got to put you in the age protected division, 20 and up.
I was waiting for my daughter to tell me that. I'm not a teenager. I'm sub 20. Love it.
Sub 20. That's the new. Yeah. That's the new one. Sub 20. sub 20. So yeah, I know it's probably something that will never happen, because I do agree that there is a competitive window and most people are still in that. You know, Ricky Wysocki is still, what did he get last at within Jonesboro? He got within top 15, top 10. So he's still there and he's 31. It's not like he is an old tied man. For 12th. Okay, top 15. Still tied for 12th. And that was with a three-place or a three-way tie for second.
Yeah, we can hop into Jonesboro. Let's do that. Let's hop into Jonesboro.
Old people, get out of the game.
is that what you're leaving it with?
Give it
summarizing. Old people, yeah. Get out of the game.
Hot take, right. Old people, just get a walker and walk off the course. We don't want you. We don't need you. And I'll be joining you here soon.
Oh, okay. Jonesboro was, I will say, was my favorite tournament to, or at least my favorite final round to watch MPO all of this year. And
I'm going to
I will say all of last year as well. What an exciting final round. I mean, over at FPO, we had Kristen going in with a really good lead. You know, every once in a while, Chris is going to have that run she goes on and just dominates every single person on the field. What she win by, like 7-8? She won by 9 strokes. 9 strokes.
Oh, how old is she? I got to look it up.
Gotta look it up.
But yeah, I mean, that's just a dominant performance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she is a very, very special FBO player, and she's fun to watch. I'm more like, as far as watching live sports goes, I'm more into close matches, ones that it could go different directions. And when Kristen goes on one of her runs, it's like, you're fascinating to watch on how good you are at disc golf. But at the same time, I'm looking for that competition. One thing I will say is Evelina this year, I mean, night and day from last year, she's gotten her putting down. For the most part, she's ending in top 10 a lot of the times. I have her on one of my year-round fantasy disc golf leagues, and she is helping my score not crumble by my other picks, since I picked Eagle McMahon first round and he decided not to play for a while.
Evelina, she is. Did she fix her yips? The putting? I didn't get to watch her putting as close.
She's not fun to watch when she's not hitting their lines. It's very true.
But couldn't you say that about anyone? They're not fun. I mean, I wouldn't want to watch anyone go out there and like hit every first tree available. So
no. Let's see. I'm gonna pull this up. Jerianne wants to know what you think about MPO Trophy saying men's open champion to oppose to mixed open champion. You know, that was, Paige sent us that picture.
Get him.
I'm going to pull it up. I got it right here.
Jerianne is just a Canadian that chooses violence on the day.
she wakes up and chooses violence, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that they would take that chance. Is it a political statement? Is that the route that I have not heard of them changing it from mixed?
I don't think it still says, like, if you look up PDGA, it still says mixed open. So
yeah,
we did a lot of talking about trophies last week. So mm-hmm. I wonder, it was this oversight. Did somebody take care of the trophies that really didn't know what it was? Did they just see it was, they thought MPO, FPO. So they did. Oh, okay. FPO is female open. Well, I'm guessing MPO is male. So, you know, men's. So if it was done on purpose, I could see some outrage. If it was just some local trophy, because it looks like it was done by some local trophy company. Like one of the dads at my school, he runs a trophy shop and people send him stuff all the time. He says, whatever they send me in, I just print it out, put it out there. And because like you've probably seen like the memes where it's like the birthday cake and it says like 777.677.jpg. And you're like, what the heck? Yeah. So he's had that happen before where it's like, make sure you write exactly what you want. So, Jerry Ann, for one thing, put that thing on your computer so we know who you are, so you don't have to talk in third person. Jerry Ann says she's at work. Second, if this became a trend at different events, I could see maybe some sort of questioning. But if it was just like a one-time thing, I wonder if like the PDGA is even aware. Like, did anyone notice?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is that like when you're running the tournament, if you're having a trophy be created, or anything for that fact, like bag tags, trophies, the person who is making it for you will send you something to proof. Like, how does this look? How does this font look? How does the wording look? So whoever's running the tournament or who's in charge of approving things also was aware of this happening. So that's where I'm like, I don't know if it wasn't on purpose or not. So
true. Now let's say we sit down 100 disc golfers from casual to pro. We show them a picture and say, what do you think of this trophy? How many of those 100 do you think would notice that right away?
I mean, a lot. I think a lot. If they're,
you think 50-50?
I'd probably say 60-40 in favor
that
of them
would staying. Notice. They would, I would you notice. Think I don't think as many casual disc golfers know, and because they probably think the same thing. FPO stands for Female Professional Open, you know, and MPO, they probably don't know MPO is mixed. I would guess that, because think about when you first started playing. When I saw it, I thought, oh, F, and because in other sports it's just like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, who knows? But I definitely noticed it. And it was...
I say Jerry Ann should write a strongly worded letter to some sort of Canadian official. I don't know. Like, do you guys logging people? I don't know who's in charge up there. Is it like Tim Hortons or something? I don't know. But complain.
Is Kristen fun to watch, or is she only fun to watch when she's winning? I think Kristen's fun to watch. I think Kristen's a very talented disc golfer. And watching her pull off some of the lines that she does it's enjoyable to me to watch her.
Yeah, I don't know why she wouldn't be fun to watch. And I like that she seems classy. And what I mean by that is, again, maybe I'm just an old man now, but like she's not super showy, not overly, I'm not saying she's not emotional and that emotions are a bad thing, but she seems like composed, like I'm a professional at this. And I'm not to say like other people aren't fun. I'm thinking of like Johnny McEnroe, like in mm-hmm. tennis and stuff. Like he was fun to watch and he would cuss at refs. So, but you know, I could watch Kristen play because I think she does the sport the right way and does a service to the sport. Just for then, how she composes herself.
Then to answer your question, which is very true, Evelina's putting is on fire. She, the yips that she was in last year, they're not happening. I think I might have remembered maybe one or a couple holes that I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's what's happening with that putt. But she's been on it. She's been landing high up in the rankings at each tournament. So yeah, I think the putting yips are gone for that woman.
Man, that's got to be that would improve her game tremendously. I feel like that was the only thing holding her back because she could crush. I thought she did great at upshots and her mid-range game was good. But like, if she got within 30 feet of that basket, you thought, oh, here's a 3 or 4 putt coming, and I've seen it. But again, I wonder how bad her C1 putting actually is if you looked at her stats. Because again, most people were always focused on the negative. Hey, this person's screwing this up when she probably made. Is this Jerry Ann still? Does she hate Kristen Sitar? Is there like a Canadian Estonia thing that I don't know about? Like, y'all hate each other?
I think it's about Kristen. I think she pouts when she misses her shots, and it's an ick to me. Yeah.
Well, now I got to look it up. Like, I guess.
I mean, she does, but a lot of people do. I mean, how many MPO players do you see that miss a putt on a final round and like kick their mini, or just you see the little grump faced? They're so upset.
Yeah, I get it. That would be an ick for me too. Yeah, I don't like that. again, because I always think, like, would I want my kids watching this, and would I want my kids acting like this? No, I wouldn't. So if she does do that, Jerry Ann, I'm sorry.
You're apologizing for
Kristen. Yeah, I feel like I just got to apologize. Jerry Ann. Yeah, to Jerry Ann. She's just on one tonight, y'all.
He's just so sorry. Okay, so we'll move over to MPO, which, again, my favorite final round of MPO to watch in the last 2 years. It was so freaking close, and we almost had an amazing story with Callaway. I feel what truly lost it for Callaway, and I know he's not going to forget this, is when he laid up. What hole was that? He laid up on a hole they didn't want to fight the wind on when he could have putted
free. You don't lay up.
Mm-mm. And then the fact that you lose by, you don't tie by one. I would never forget that layup I did. I get that it was windy. It's a safe shot. But if you're going for a final round win,
can you be safe?
Not when there's like nine people in contention, on the lead card, third card, who are just running for that for first place. There's too many people in contention to not run that eagle. And he wasn't that far away from it. I think it was maybe circle two, but it was just really windy in that spot. And that layup happened, and he took a bird instead of an eagle, ends up not tying because he went out of bounds on 18. But then AB, he wasn't hitting all of it. You would not think that he's the one that was going to win it if you start at the start of round three. But the fact that AB went so long being so close to winning a tournament and then falling apart, last year, and now this year he got his first win, and now he's got three under his belt, three W's. Like, he is killing it this year.
So do you think it was confidence where you get that one and then you just keep adding on to it because it's like, I did it once, I can do it again? Or has he improved his game from joining Discraft? Like, what's the big difference here?
I personally feel like he did something to fix his mental game.
Okay.
Because I think it was last year. Yeah. Where that last year when he had Paul Macbeth on his bag and he was forehand up to the island hole and he kept missing it or going out of bounds and I keep redoing it. I mean, he's good enough that he should have been able to maybe go out of bounds once, possibly twice, and then correct it. And the mental part of it, I feel, destroyed him on that round and that hole. And watching him play this season, you can tell that it feels like he's done a lot of work to keep himself focused. Because, like I said, at the beginning of round three, he was doing okay, but I was not expecting AB to be the one who ended up with the W. Even like halfway through the round, I was not expecting it. I thought it was going to be between Ezra, who had the fire round of the top players. I think he shot a 55, or Callaway. And that was not the case. AB is like stuck to his game. He kept in his head. He knows that he's got to keep pushing forward. And that just shows a lot of growth in that kid, being able to stay in it, knowing that people have that much of a lead on you, which isn't far, but it's a lead, and you're not playing great coming out the first, the front nine. I think AB really deserved this win. It's just cool to see. I'm just happy to be alive during this generation of disc golfers.
Happy to be alive, Josh.
Happy to be alive. See, little MPs 30 over there, getting tired.
I know, getting tired. Dude, remember, it's 9 o'clock here. I still have my T-ball stuff on from coaching my son. This is my life now. I live at the baseball field every night. Every night.
No worries. Well, I mean, now, also, what, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, now, thinking of another player that might just be near that threshold, Ezra. Ezra, I think, is someone that is always in the back of my mind. It's like, I'm sure he's like top 15. Somewhere there because he can mash, but he's another one that just doesn't seem to put it together when it matters. And then right here, Jonesboro, second place, missing by one stroke. Ugh.
Yeah, and he, it's not like he played bad. Like round three, he was 55, which out of the, the top five players, he had the best round. Then round before that, he had a 53 on round two, but he took that 58 in round one. And, you know, he'd had a little bit rougher start on round one. And at the end of the day, that's what kept him from taking that down the win. But he stayed so focused going through all of round three as well. He came out, I believe he started with like birdie, three or four in a row. He played a phenomenal round. And again, his head was in it. He was doing really well. I feel like he was just a little too far back, just a tiny bit too far back. When you also have somebody like AB coming up behind you, all of a sudden starts throwing well, and he's not letting up. It was a really close game, like I said. Like, was it 24, first place, 23, 23, 23, 22, 21. Like, what a freaking round of disc golf to watch.
And that's not saying, that's not bad disc golf. I can't be like, you know, he should have played better. Like, that is fantastic shooting. I think those are all 1,020 plus rated rounds, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, can you hear highlight Gary's comment? So is that where that mental fortitude comes up? The MPO final round was a matter of watching players lose their drive to win the tournament. Callaway, Aderholt, Heinberg, and one player maintained that steady win to drive Barilla. His eagle putt on 14 sealed the deal. So was that momentum shift on 14 where he makes that putt and it's like, hey, I'm in it to win it? Or did people just get those unlucky breaks?
I mean, like, again, all three, Callaway, Aderholt, and Heinberg, all had a drive that did not go well for them. And AB had a rough start. Not horrible, just rougher than the rest. And then that back nine, he just picked up momentum, and he did not let off the gas and passed up all those people as they had those little tiny mistakes.
And I would definitely rather start rough and finish stronger, no matter the score, than start strong and get progressively worse. Because then I feel like that's when that mental game really kicks in, where if you notice you're making those mistakes, then you're going to kind of sit on those mistakes and you're going to keep rethinking about those. Like, I made that mistake. And then you're going to play timid. You're going to play scared. And you see it in every sport. So I think Barilla got that confidence. And then, I guess 14 on just kind of put on the gas and kept going.
Yeah. It's a fun one to watch. Like, I even rewatched. I watched it live. And then I rewatched it in, Jomez Pro. The thing is, like, I'm finding watching live is way more appealing when it's this close, because Jomez like does a decent job at like doing like the chase card check-in and stuff like that, but watching live, it's always happening, and you're able to follow like all the cards the whole entire round.
I think that really made it go. Joshua, I just got a message, check your invites. But yes, I think live, much better to watch live when it's this close of an event, where like when you see Tatar winning by nine strokes, it's not as like, you know, do I really have three holes? She's winning by nine. Not as cool. Still cool. I don't want to say that too loud. Jerry Ann might get all mad. How dare you talk about Tatar?
I see no message.
Manny says he's here.
He's not even in there. He's lying.
Manny. He's not in there. Manny.
He's lying to him. He is not here.
Manny, a man of just lies. How dare you, Manny?
What's next week? The Music City Open?
I think so.
It is. Who are you calling for? Who's going to win? I said it. You got to go first.
I mean, I won the fantasy event last year for the season. I still did not get anything. Just like Paige Hurtado owes me like six packages, and I still haven't received a single one of those. I'm about to take them to the feedback group, but that's something else. I would say... I would say... It's kind of... Is Barella playing? Because it's kind of hard to not ride the hot hand. I always will pick Tatar for FPO because I think she is just... I will take my 50-50. I feel like she's a 50-50 shot. 50-50. Tatar.
Yeah, Owen's not playing. Eagle is back.
The Eagle has landed?
Yeah, Eagle is finally back. I went all season not be able to pick him on my fantasy draft, and now I just put him in.
I'm going to say, here's my guess. Music City Open. I'm trying to think who did well there last year. I'm going to go Barella.
Okay.
Simon. Calvin. And then for FPO, I'm going to go Tatar. There's no own playing. I'm going to go Tatar. I'm going to pick Evelina for third if she plays. And okay. I would say second. I'm going to say, is Ella? You think Ella's playing this one?
I think so.
I'm going to go Tatar, Ella, Evelina for my FPO. Okay. And then for my men, it was Barella.
Uh-huh.
Did I say Simon?
Mm-hmm.
Cowan.
Okay.
What about you, Josh?
MPO, I'm going to say Eagle's going to come back and just win it. I'm going to say it's going to go Eagle, followed by Calvin. And then Proctor.
The proctologist.
I am going to manifest this to happen. Just putting the energy in there to my fantasy picks.
I will say he has the greatest nickname ever. The proctologist.
FPO, I think Cat Merch is going to take it down.
I always forget about Cat Merch.
I think Evelina is going to come in second, not third. And then I'll say Kristen gets third.
You're going to say Kristen gets third?
Yep.
Okay. Someone mark this down. Paige probably isn't paying attention because who knows what Paige is doing right now.
He's playing disc golf.
He probably is playing disc golf. I guarantee he is.
But I don't see any Manny trying to come in at all.
Manny, you tell me you're here, and then you're not here. I feel like it's just lies.
Also, Manny's supposed to be having a new logo for us this year. Let's talk about that since he's not here to defend himself.
So let's just run. Wait, Manny's messaged me. I don't have the link. Oh my gosh, Manny. Let me give Manny the link.
Do it.
Let me do everything for Manny.
Paige decided to take tonight off. I believe this was like a pre-scheduled manicure. He books out 6 months in advance, and he couldn't miss this one. They just got his a certain polish he likes. Came in, so he didn't want to miss that. That's where he's at.
Where's Paige Hurtado? We're having have you noticed it's been very civil tonight? No screaming, no random housework going on in the background.
No random housework, yeah.
No just loud cursing. It's a very child-friendly event tonight. We wanted everyone to feel welcome. And when Paige is here, he gets mad. He gets rage-filled. And that's what happens. So We wanted it to be, this is Family Tuesday.
Family Tuesday.
Family Tuesday.
While we're waiting for Manny to pop in, what are you putting with right now?
Oh, I'm an EMAC Judge man, a soft EMAC Judge. I love soft putters. The man of the hour. I have tried everything. I started out when I first started playing with Judges, put a Judges for a while. I tried P2s. I tried other things. And it just, every time I came back, I'm just a soft burst EMAC man myself. What about you, Josh? Are you still a P2 man? I felt like that's not your jam.
Well, I was throwing the alters during the winter, but I've switched back to my two ring D-line P2s.
Ooh. Yeah,
more beat up the better.
You like them beat up because it's just that straight?
I find that the two ring D-lines, when you beat them up, they still have some decent fade.
Okay.
If you lob them. If not, they're little laser beams. I like them a lot. How's it going, Manny?
Throwing?
Hey, guys. Sorry, Paige ain't here.
I would have been here earlier, but, you know, Tuesday is my coaching night.
Manny, I get the coaching. Trust me.
Yeah.
My son's tall. I get it.
Yeah, but, you know, tonight was one of those nights where a parent decided not to pick up their kid until 20 minutes after practice.
Isn't that the most frustrating thing? I have that happen at school all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I usually run over a little bit, but tonight I was like, all right, I got to go because I got stuff to do. And no, I waited there for 20 minutes.
I thought you were going to say you run over kids. So I thought you were about to incriminate yourself. So I was going to be like,
only my own kids. Kids. Putters? I putt with P2s. I like P2s. I actually... my favorite putter, and I have a bunch stashed away, and I just kind of cycle them through so none of them get totally destroyed, are the old X-Line P2s.
Oh, yeah.
Can we please
talk about X-Line? Because I want to know the difference between X-Line and, like, stiff P-Line, because I know they're, like, not made anymore, but even, like, Infinite has their own X-Line, and I, like, pick them up, I'm like, I can't tell the difference.
You know, I don't know what it is. It's like a little bit just, like, tackier for in my hand is kind of what it feels like. A little bit almost, like, chalkier is kind of what I, at least the ones that I got. And when I found out that they were getting rid of them, happened to be at the warehouse, and I grabbed every single X line I can find. And that was about, like, I don't know, it was only like six of them that they had left there, but I grabbed a bunch of them. And then I also had a bunch of Solar Crusher stamped X line ones that I have that I just kind of shipped through.
Now, there's also like a K line. Isn't there a K line too?
I don't know.
Way back when, like it was like the K-line plastic. It's like it's kind of like D-line, maybe a little bit stiffer in between K and P, like D and P.
Gotta put that D and that P, baby.
But people get used to how a disc feels with that plastic.
You need the K-line to get plastic. The D and the P.
There easy, fella. He's taking page. He's channeling his inner page. Now, tried the new P2s before we leave our P2s? Do you like the new Discmania P2s?
I actually do. You know, I have a few of those that I'll throw in every once in a while. I mean, I honestly cycle through putters a lot because I'm the type of person that if a putter's not going in the basket, I got to put in timeout. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've been pretty solid on the two that I've been using recently. One is an old X-Line one, and one is, I think they're both X-Lines right now. And one is a Soul Crusher stamp, and one is just an older X-Line that I have, you know. But I'll use the newer ones. I don't mind the newer ones. In fact, there was actually one time when I wasn't putting well in a tournament, I actually did something I tell people never to do, which is I started throwing the disc I got for the tournament because I had it in my bag and it was a putter and I couldn't putt for some reason. So I just switched out my putter. I think if you're going to do that, I think a putter is probably the best way to go, because don't throw a brand new driver that you get for the tournament that day.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I've tried the newer P2. I don't hate it. I'm just like, I'm just so used to that old softer D-line plastic.
Yeah.
It's a feel thing for me. I own quite a few just in case I ever lose the many, many old ones I have.
Yeah. I own so many that it's just like not even funny. Hold on. Let me see if I can find one of my favorite ones real quick. Oh yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. This one's on the new, run of them.
Ooh, yeah, you've always liked that Iraknid stamp.
Dude, that's my favorite one. That's my favorite one. And it's, now, it's an OG for TSA.
That is an OG. Because I've seen that on lots of other discs. I saw it on like Glow MD3s,
mm-hmm.
P2s, I can't think of anything else. Now, Manny, you got about like 10-ish minutes to drop some knowledge on us. Tell us about your... can Manny even hear me? Probably not. Because I just see like the creature in the back lurking.
All right, pulling out some sweet P2s.
All right, Manny, I was saying we got about like 10-ish minutes.
Yeah.
So you got 10 minutes, baby. Drop it on us.
All right, cool. This is, I don't even know what this is. This might be an X-line or an old D-line or whatever, but this is a design that I did for Johnny Roberts Memorial. I love this one. Cool. I have a few different things. This is actually okay. So this is a P line.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I almost have like an FD.
Probably, but okay. So here's an X line. This is one of my X lines that I absolutely love, and I have a couple that are exact couple twins of this.
I've seen that stamp before.
I actually need to ship out an MD1 with that stamp on it that someone bought. I'm shipping out a bunch of discs. I finally had to go through and sell some stuff. Check this out. Okay, so this is a Sky God 1 run with that same stamp. This was once I started doing the very first time I went to the warehouse, Discmania Warehouse, was when it was still in California.
R.I.P.
It was literally like I was able to get a Sky God, a blank Sky God with that stamp. So I don't throw it anymore because since it's so clear, it's hard to find. And I don't want to lose it. But a couple of my favorite P2s.
What does it say?
It says, My Manny.
My Manny.
And then it has HBD 2018. One of my buddies had these made for... I do a birthday round usually every year, and we go up to Bear Mountain. And someone had those stamped for me, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's pretty crazy.
I love my P2s.
So just two exist in this world?
Of what? No, actually, they had about 20 of those. I don't know how many P2s. There were different molds. And it was, I got a few of them. And then they just gave them out to like people at that were at my birthday round. You know, the last time
Colton will spend like $300 on those if he knows there's only 20. He'll freak out.
Colton who?
Colton, is it Evats ever?
I don't know.
He's the guy that's always buying team stamps. He buys team stamps, loves team stamps.
I have a few
team stamps. Team stamp turd.
I have a few team stamps, but I'm not ready to let those go. They've all been thrown. I have an MD1, an MD3, maybe an MD4. I have a couple other things. I don't know.
Okay. But I like dog got diggity dog.
Yep.
Manny, you got any new art? I was just gonna say, you got any new art to share with us that you can share with us?
I actually don't. I was planning on getting it together before we were coming and before I got home and getting it together, and it was just like, thanks dad for showing up 20 minutes late. But I will get some stuff. I I heard you talking about me before I was able to get in. Yes, there is a new logo coming and we will get it to you first.
I mean, Paige top is priority. Here. Drop it on us without Paige so we can rub it in his face.
You know, let's just tell him that I showed you guys and it will be, and it's done and you guys love it. And since he wasn't here, he's no longer in the logo.
That's fantastic.
Oh. Yeah.
Just, yeah, can you just, like, Photoshop him out of it or just make something cool without a minute?
Yeah, I don't need to Photoshop him out. I could just, like, take him out, you know. I mean, it's my own drawing.
Right, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It's your own drawing.
Perfect.
I don't have it. Perfect. I just got a disc from Colton that's team-stamped. It's a team-stamped tactic. Mm. But it's, like,
you're not on the team, Josh.
The Razor Claw. Two mold,
mm-hmm.
of a tactic. I'm really excited to throw it. I don't care if it's valuable or team stamp. I want to throw that disc.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually just got this from Colton too. K2 Berg.
Berg.
What?
You don't like Berg. The Berg?
Manny.
Berg. No, I'm.
You know who else doesn't like the Berg is Paige. So now you and Paige are like the same person. How does that make
don't
you?
Don't do that, dude. Don't do that to me.
How does that make you feel?
That makes me feel horrible, dude.
Exactly. So think about it.
Look at this. I got a tear in my eye. Look right there. It's right there. It's dripping down.
I hope you hear this, Paige. You and Manny are more alike than you think.
I don't know. That's probably why we don't get along, is because we're so much alike. You know, maybe I'll see if I could jump in with you guys in another 2 weeks instead of waiting a full other month, since I was only here for like 10 minutes because of stuff.
We will always take Manny time because it takes away from what we have to do and nobody wants to hear us talk.
Yeah.
And maybe in 2 weeks you got some new art to share.
I have some older stuff
you've done. I like when you show the older stuff that you've done.
Ooh, oh man, we can... If you want to do some old stuff, you know, next time I could line up a couple old things. I don't want to, you know, we're running out of time. I don't want to go dig through my closet, but
yeah.
My closet back there, I have a full shelf that goes all the way back to like the first stamp that I've ever done, you know.
So in 2 weeks, we might have a Manny's Closet adventure. You hear that, people? R. Kelly's making a guest appearance and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, Manny's coming out of the closet. Manny's just coming out of the closet.
I love it.
Trapped in the
closet. So wait, let me ask you this. Okay, so what did you putt with, Cody? What did you say?
Soft EMAC judges. I don't like a big bead.
Yeah.
And very small bead, and I like shallow, thin putters.
Yeah. I hate beads now. And Josh is obviously P2, so no beads. You know, I was just asking because the whole reason, like when I first started playing, I went to a store and I was throwing Wizards, and it was when the Super Stupid stuff came out, which the very first run of those just had the $3 signs on it. I don't know if you remember that.
The money run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A long time ago. It's like 2008. I went to the store and I picked up a couple, just cause I wanted a couple more, and I grabbed them and I paid for them, and I'm driving away, and you know, you get a new disc, right? You got to feel it the whole time, you know. So I'm driving, I got my hand on it, you know, like I'm like I got a girlfriend in the seat next to me, right? I hope my wife's not listening. Anyway, so I pick one up and I'm like, what, this one feels so much different, you know. So I thought I bought Wizards, and I picked one up, and I was like, what the hell is different? I was like, I kind of like the way that this feels. Well, someone had put a Warlock in the Wizard pile, and as soon as I felt that without the bead, I was like, this is so much better. And so ever since then, it's just like, the bead is stupid. You know,
Warlock a beadless Wizard?
Pretty much.
Oh.
And
yeah, I don't like beads either.
That's why I totally went away from beads. It was a total mistake. It was just random, and I've never been able to handle a bead since. You know, I don't mind it. You know, I mean, if it's like total micro bead on like maybe a mid range or something like that, but for putting, it just feels so much better in my hand without a bead.
Speaking of old Gateway, I bought a basket and some disc from some of the like old
old head that I use at school. And in there was a super stupid soft Voodoo. And it was like 150 gram. I left it to school and I would play with it. And man, at school, I could like spit that from anywhere. I was like, I had no idea what a Voodoo was. But man, that super soft, light plastic felt good.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Do they still make the Magics as well? Those are fun too. The
Magic. I don't know. I don't know. They make only like putter. Oh, actually, they got some nice drivers now, but yeah. They made only putters for the longest time.
Yeah.
I think Paige is on Team Gateway now or something. Or is that Team Hooligan? One of them.
Hooligan.
Mm.
Hey, you know what I just noticed? You know, you guys were talking about Music City.
Yeah.
It's sponsored by Lone Star this year.
Oh.
Music City Open presented by Lone Star. I found that interesting.
So yeah. Manny, Josh, and I both gave our top three MPO and FPO predictions for
Music City. I did see that. I heard that was
waiting. We need to hear yours.
Oh man. Oh. Let me look at the field over here. God, it's hard to go against Barella right now, right? That dude is friggin' hot. It's just like, I'm going to go with Nico LeCastro. No, sorry. Whoa. Hot take.
Hot take.
Now that's a hot take, actually.
I don't know, man.
You think about that for a little bit. Let that marinate.
It's going to be someone coming out of nowhere. Conrad is going to come in and take it.
He'll just throw only Envies, and they're always go in, no matter where they are.
Yeah, dude.
Did see Conrad threw a forehand the other day, and Chandler Kramer threw a backhand during a practice round. Paul McBeth
really?
Shared
that's
a video.
Crazy
Paul
talk.
McBeth was, yeah, he made a comment. He's like, I saw the holy shot go in, and this is still more spectacular. And it showed James Conrad, that iconic hole over the water. Conrad doing a forehand, gets it on there, and Chandler Kramer with a backhand. And Paul McBeth was like, you'll never see this again.
Yeah, I know, right?
I think James overshot it too with the forehand.
Yeah, he did.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang, that guy's he must be working out.
Yeah. He's working out.
Well, we are at the top of the hour, so we might possibly have Manny back in 2 weeks.
I was gonna say
I would like to. So let's plan on it. Hopefully all my parents pick up their kids.
In 2 weeks, that will be the 30th. So Tuesday the 30th, Manny special edition in the closet, looking at discs that may or may not get out.
I can pull some.
If you want, we can make sure Paige isn't here again if you want a more chill atmosphere. If you want him here because you want to argue, that's fine too.
I just like making fun of him. There's always something to make fun of.
We all do.
It's just like
it's out of love, though, Paige. If you're listening,
yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for popping on just for a bit, Manny. Always a pleasure to have you on. Want to thank all the sponsors: All Day Disc Golf, Rare Disc. Use discount code Jammers for 10% off. So we got Soul Crusher showing up
with
to the party.
Manny
a little
the
bit.
Man.
And CH Sports. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Keep hey, real,
in the rough.
Okay, real quick, I do got to say I like the cat merch call. Was that you, Josh? That's very good call, I think.
So wait, Manny, the last thing we want these people to hear, what's your top three? Drop it.
Okay, I'm going to go Barella, Eagle, and Conrad. I'm just picking them, not necessarily in that order. That's just what I'm calling.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right. I do. Who had? Was it you, Cody, that had?
I had Evelina.
No. Okay, so
Tatar.
I like Tatar, Evelina, and Merch. No. Okay. Sorry. Not Evelina. Tatar, Ella, and Merch.
Ooh, okay.
I always root for Ella. I need Ella to win a big one. She's so awesome, and it's just like, you know, whenever I get to do something for her. I did finish the new Showstopper a while ago, so I can't wait till that comes out because it's totally different. We had fun with that because Ella's a really fun person, so that's a really fun stamp, and I can't wait till that one comes out.
Perfect. And she has a new jersey out. So pick one of those up. I picked one up. I'm excited for that one.
I'm still waiting for Tasmania to let me design jerseys for him. I'm going to start designing them for Alex, you know, because I have so many good ideas for jerseys. And, you know, I did the initial Simon Lizotte Sky God jersey, and I haven't been invited back to do another one.
They're missing out, Manny. They're missing out.
Yeah. You know, one thing we didn't talk about is all the Discmania stuff. We'll have to talk about it in 2 weeks.
All right, let's do that. All right, on that note, see you in 2 weeks. Keep jamming in the rough.
In the rough.